Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Happy days to us all. Appreciate you tuning in, listening, joining this conversation, 855-752-4842. Got a big hour for you. We're still addressing the rhetoric, I guess. The right, very upset, apparently. It's the rhetoric of the left. Maybe folks like me criticizing the former administration, the former president. I'm okay with the current administration, honestly. Because if by comparison, everything's normal compared to what is being offered from Trump and J.D. Vance. It is just beyond the pale. And I love our guest in the last hour, John Nichols, going to interview Tommy Thompson at the Cap Times Idea Fest coming up, I believe, later this week. A lot of people love Tommy here in the state of Wisconsin. Man, he's got this image. You know, he brought bipartisan votes together. He was governor for a long time. How does a guy like that, which a lot of people, and John Nichols and a lot of Democrats will respect and say nice things about Tommy Thompson, how does Tommy, you know, reconcile his traditional GOP beliefs and obviously his history of working across the aisle and representing the great state of Wisconsin for years with what we see going on in what's left of the Republican Party in the MAGA Party? And I'm going to continue to be critical. And I think everyone, you know, if that's how you feel, if that's what the facts drive you to be, then that's okay. Mm-hmm. That is okay. It's not okay to wish death upon people. That's not good. It's not okay to tell people to go eliminate someone. That's not okay. I would even go so far to say is it's not okay if you're a presidential candidate to use your social media and millions of followers to say, I hate somebody.
Right.
As that is the only point of that text or message. I hate somebody.
Yeah, you literally cannot dig deeper into that to say, oh, it's a very nuanced position.
No, those were the only words.
No, that is literally just hateful rhetoric.
It's in there.
It's right there.
It's right there. And I'm not sure that Trump knows literally or figuratively because he said they were literally crucifying people on his trial.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Remember that? Oh, they're literally crucifying these witnesses. No, I don't think that's literal, sir. I think they're okay. Uh-huh. They may have been cross-examined, maybe been a little harsh, but pretty sure they weren't pounding nails into mm-hmm. their mm-hmm. wrists, arms. I don't even know.
It depends on the style, really.
Doesn't it, though? Yeah. Doesn't it, though? The intricacies of crucifixion. The New York Times has a piece from yesterday, Trump outraged in the modern era of political violence. I want to jump down into this piece. This was written by, who did this? Peter Baker, reporting from Washington at the New York Times. In the body towards the end of this piece is the meat, in my opinion. I'd like to share this with you and get your thoughts on it, 855-752-4842. At the heart of today's eruption of political violence is Mr. Trump, a figure who seems to inspire people to make threats or take actions both for him and against him. He has long favored the language of violence in his political discourse, encouraging supporters to beat up hecklers, threatening mm-hmm. to shoot looters mm-hmm. and undocumented migrants, mocking a near-fatal attack on the husband of Democratic House Speaker, and suggesting that a general he deemed disloyal be executed.
Mm-hmm.
Executed! Now, while Mr. Trump insists his fiery speech to supporters on January 6th of 2021 was not responsible for the subsequent ransacking of the Capitol, he resisted pleas from advisors and his own daughter, not the beautiful Ivanka, his own daughter. He resisted pleas from them on that day to do more to stop the assault. He even suggested that the mob might be right to want to hang his vice president and has since embraced the attackers as patriots, whom he may pardon mm-hmm. if elected again.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Interesting.
Rhetoric. Wow.
Rhetoric. Words.
Can he just shoot him in the legs? Didn't he say that about the Black Lives Matter protester?
Yeah.
Just shoot him in the legs. It'll be fine. Shoot him in the legs.
Yeah, we should also not forget what Donald Trump's rallying cry is at all of his rallies. Fight, fight, fight. It's not ambiguous. It doesn't sound like they're saying, you know, engage in politics.
But Kamala Harris says, when we fight, we win.
Yeah, I know.
I get it. But, I mean, and what is the point? What is the level, right? Everyone's got their own and the context, how you say it. And those things matter, certainly. So I don't want to like get overly sensitive on it, but I also think people need to, you know, understand and embrace the fact that, yeah, maybe this rhetoric isn't great. And if you think I'm wrong, you think I'm being a little hyperbolic, if my rhetoric for calling out the guy for what he's doing, you think that's out of bounds? Please, I'm down. Let me know. 855-752-4842. Back to the Times. Trump does not pause to reflect on the impact of his own words. Just last week, his false pet-eating accusations against Haitian migrants during his debate with Harris were quickly followed up by bomb threats that turned life upside down in Springfield, Ohio, and he did nothing to discourage them. After 33 bomb threats, Ohio's governor, a Republican, I might add, said Monday that law enforcement would conduct daily sweeps of schools in the town. Because there's nothing else for those cops to do, right? Everything's fine. Yeah, I gotta stop everything and go sweep the schools because of the rhetoric of the former president. Rhetoric. It sounds so official and fancy. Lies. Racist tropes. Lies. Asked by a reporter if he denounced the bomb threats, Trump demurred. How do you demur when you're talking about bomb threats? You don't demur. The answer is yes, I denounced the bomb threats. But no, here's what he said. I don't know what happened with the bomb threats. I know that it's been taken over by illegal migrants, and that's a terrible thing that happened. I don't know what happened with the bomb threats. I know that it's been taken over by illegal migrants, and that's a terrible thing that happened. Not the bomb threats. Cannot denounce the bomb. If you do not denounce the bomb threats, you essentially, I would say, something to that magnitude, you kind of endorse it.
Yeah.
If you don't denounce violent insurrection and attacking of the police officers at the Capitol, you kind of endorsed it.
If you don't admit that you lost an election, you kind of claim that you won.
It's kind of like that. That seems like it would rile some people up.
It does indeed.
Especially if they believe you. Folks, yeah. Don't believe them. Now, Trump's critics have at times employed the language of violence as well. Come on. Although not as extensively and repeatedly at the highest levels. The former president's allies distributed a video compilation online of various Trump opponents saying they'd like to punch him in the face or the like. Pardon. Some of the more extreme voices on social media in the past day have mocked or minimized a close call at the Florida golf course. Trump allies often decry what they call Trump derangement syndrome, the notion that his critics despise him so much that they've lost their minds. Nope, I am quite sane. Thank you very much. Anger, of course, has long been the animating force of Mr. Trump's time in politics, both the anger he stirs among his supporters against his rivals and the anger that he generates among opponents who come to loathe him. Loathing.
Loathe.
Predictions that he might rethink that after he narrowly escaped death in Butler proved ephemeral. By halfway through the acceptance speech at the RNC 5 days later, he was back to himself.
Oh, it wasn't even halfway through.
it was like 20 minutes. Into a 90-minute.
Oh, yeah, like 93 minutes.
Oh, my God. It was so long and terrible. Let's see. Okay. He was back to himself. But it is a measure of how much political violence has become a part of modern American culture. Not accepted, perhaps, but more and more expected. That the latest incident may make no more difference than the first. The shock from the shooting in Butler wore off relatively quickly as attention turned to other developments. The shock from this one may not last any longer, Peter Baker writes at the Times. He's the chief White House correspondent for the New York Times. saying you want to punch Trump in the face, those kinds of things, not good either. But those, I think I put those, if we're going to equate the terrible things that are said, you know, the lies on the Haitians and then say you're going to deport them to Venezuela. I mean, the it makes no sense. And that's the ramblings and musings of an old man, an angry, racist old man. 855-752-4842. Is that too harsh? I mean,
no.
If that was my uncle sitting around the table, I'm pretty sure I'd say it. If that was some guy sitting down the bar from me and was acting like that and saying those things, I think I'd say it. Dave Zweifel from the Cap Times had an article out recently on this. Maybe we'll cover that a little bit as well. Saying basically a young bartender, so told him as they were lamenting and talking about the Haitian migrants eating the pets and the dogs. That's not happening, folks, just for the record. Like the young bartender that Zweifel was talking to was like, yeah, that's real. What?
Well, yeah, the former president said so.
I mean, and he's a president and he's rich, so he's right.
I mean, yeah.
He told me he's right all the time.
He's got all the qualifications that he needs to be right all the time.
He's a real man of genius.
Oh, my God.
855-752-4842. Hell, just ask him. Dick from Madison, you are up. Welcome, Dick. Happy days, man. What do you got for us?
Well, right in my general neighborhood, there's a lady you maybe seen it in the news. She's got quite a few error signs up.
Yeah.
And she's been having them spray painted at night. So they finally got pictures of the guy and the police department, you know, put it out on the news this morning locally. You know, this guy's coming at night and spray painting over the signs. Okay. That's one thing. But then in the same general neighborhood, I found this about a month ago. There's a guy that the whole lawn's peppered with stuff. He's got Trump on the front door, the one where he's all buffed out like a bodybuilder. And you name it, he's got it. All kinds of stuff. But then he has some homemade signs that I think maybe the FBI should go visit the guy.
Oh, really? Like
one
what?
One says, prepare for violence. And the other one says, ammo up.
Seems a little harsh, you know, man.
Yeah, I think maybe the guy needs a little visit from the authorities to see what exactly he means by all this. I don't think he's talking about, you know, early squirrel hunting or something. I don't know.
No, man. Well, you know how apparently, and thanks for the call, Dick, the Republicans are adamant about getting the proper licensing to hunt the geese. I guess.
Yeah, that's definitely their concern.
Or they're just, you know, raging against the black folks because that's what racists do during election time. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. There is some scary polling, perhaps what Dick's saying, talking about that guy. Like 14% of those polled Republicans said they would take action if Trump lost the election. What does that mean? 855-75-CIVIC. To the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-756. Going to get back to the lines in just a moment. Be patient, callers. Just will screen your calls. But I threw out this piece from Dave Zweifel. Want to give it to you in its entirety, not to misquote Mr. Dave Zweifel from the Cap Times. Here's quickly what he said. Then we'll get to the callers, 855-752-4842. We were discussing the presidential debate over a beer the other day when made an offhand remark about how ludicrous it was that Donald Trump claimed that Haitians in Springfield, Ohio, are eating their neighbor's family pets. It's true, you know, the young bartender surprisingly interjected. There's lots of evidence that immigrants are killing cats and wild geese and even beheading dogs.
Oh, that's a new one.
Yeah, I didn't hear that one before. Lots of evidence, apparently, according to the young bartender. Zweifel writes, he was deadly serious. That reminded me of how so many Americans get caught up in the quote-unquote news spread on social media, which is amplified by conspiracy theorists with a political agenda. Even though there's no connection to the truth, their lies are swallowed whole. That's really hard for me to grasp. I mean, if you see it, does it make it so? I mean, I remember back in the day before the internet, you know, I read it in a book. Yeah, and it doesn't make it true. Oh, I saw it online. Uh-huh. Someone told me. Oh.
Well, I saw it on the internet, so that means it must be true.
Must be true. I laughed out loud, as Weeful writes during the debate when Trump declared, in Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. We still got to get that song one of these days. They're eating the kids. I know. You know we have to, though. It's in my mind. Every time I hear this quote now, I got this little beat in my head of the song.
Tomorrow.
Okay, thank you. We promise, folks. There's a song about it. Of course there is. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. You know, the quote from Donald Trump during the debate. Zweifel from the Cap Times right. That came as news to the people in Springfield. Officials in the city, Ohio City, of about 60,000 said they had no credible reports or specific claims of pets being harmed, injured, or abused by individuals within the immigrant community, called the claims making the rounds on the internet a persistent frustration. Now, Springfield has been grappling with an estimated 20,000 Haitian immigrants who have moved there after being granted temporary protective status because of the violence in their home country. Ironically enough, the violence is now being stirred up, perhaps against them, at least in the form of the bomb threats, because of the rhetoric of J.D. Vance and Donald Trump. But, you know, never mind that. Many have found jobs in Springfield, and some credit them with helping revive the local economy. But an accident involving a Haitian driver hitting a school bus last year, which resulted in the death of an 11-year-old, apparently was a spark that ignited the wild rumors about the immigrant's behavior. Now, we played the father's remarks on that, you know, basically begging for people to stop. Do not invoke his son's name. He was very, very supportive of the migrant community. And he said something to the effect like, I wish my son, his 11-year-old boy, who was killed on this terrible accident on the bus that would have been done by a 60-year-old white man instead of a migrant Haitian, because they wouldn't be having this conversation. His son wouldn't be used as political fodder by J.D. Vance and Donald Trump. I mean, it was heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking, folks. You imagine being that parent? Having after this a year of grief to put together yourself enough to write some words down and push back on the former president and his vice presidential candidate for invoking the name of your dead son to further their political ambition. No citizen should ever have to go through that. The killing of a son, or the death of a son in a car accident. I mean, awful. Anybody, I mean, come on. And then to have to defend his name against mega extremists. What, he's just trying to deal with his own grief and his family. There are consequences, J.D. Vance, Donald Trump, bartender talking to Dave Zweifel from the Cap Times. There's consequences to that. According to the Washington Post, a Facebook post quoted an unnamed person, we talked about this yesterday, who claimed to witness a Haitian family hanging a dead cat in a tree branch and skinning it like a hunter would dress a dead deer. That was quickly picked up by a conservative account of Elon Musk, who amplified by Musk himself, along with Alexa Charlie Kirk, you know, winners here, and picked up by, wait, congressional Republicans, vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance, and Trump himself at the debate. You know, if these guys are so easily, I mean, assuming they believe it, and who knows what they really believe, do you trust their judgment on anything?
No,
I mean, at some point, right? Okay, just want to be clear that we're all on the same page here, that you're living in the same world as I am, Jess,
and
our audience, we all have the same expectations of critical thinking, not just taking up a rumor and hurting a family and a community and extending their resources and causing 33 bomb threats, causing, maybe it's a tough one, but if the story didn't get wheels, maybe those bomb threats would not have happened. Now, the snowballing story has even spawned a billboard in Arizona with a message, "Eat less cats, vote Republican," and internet memes using AI to show Trump hugging a cat and a duck. There was a cat eating incident several weeks ago, but it occurred in Canton, Ohio, where a woman with mental issues killed a cat and was suspected of eating it. She wasn't Haitian, and she was born in the U.S. Well, that's fine then. I mean, you know, as long as it's a an American citizen killing and eating those cats, that's okay. As long as it's an American citizen getting in a car accident and killing that 11-year-old boy whose father had to heartbreakingly go out in public and defend his dead son, well, that's okay. If, you know, if it's a murder of school kids by a crazed American teenage white boy, totally fine. Totally fine. But if any of those folks don't have the proper immigration status or citizenship status, because these Haitians folks, they're legal. They have the proper status. They have the status that the Republicans claim they want. Legal immigration.
Oh, but Dom, they're only legal because that's what the law is.
Oh, right. Well, that's the thing. That's the law.
Is that the thing? Is that the point?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I think it's because they're just mad because they're black and it riles up their fan base. Meanwhile, a photo of a black man carrying a dead goose was also not taken in Springfield, but in Columbus, and no one has been able to pinpoint who the man is or where he's from. Now, J.D. Vance has been a key figure in promoting the pet eating story, tipped his hat about his motives when he posted on X that it's possible, of course, that all these rumors will turn out to be false, unquote. Yeah, you think? But yeah. Why would you default to that instead of assuming it's true and saying it's possible they're false?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why not assume it's false and say it's possible it's true, but we need to see the evidence? Like, well, like
yeah, why
normal
not
people,
wait to and say, like, let's see what is actually going on
because
here?
Because the debate happened. He had to get this
thing. Yeah.
And then he said, keep the meme, cat memes going. Ultimately, the fact that this story relies on dubious evidence, unproven claims, fear-mongering rather than facts, doesn't stop the spread at all. Mike Rothschild, who specializes in researching conspiracy theories, told the New York Times, the people sharing the memes want it to be true, so it's true for them. Ultimately, those people will keep spreading the story no matter how little evidence exists to back it up. 855-752-4842. Come back with your calls. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Callers, be patient. We got James Kelly checking in. He's Civic Media's own Northwest Wisconsin News Bureau Chief. James, up in Eau Claire, J.D. Vance giving a speech again, the second in 6 weeks in Eau Claire, in Wisconsin. James, welcome back, man. What's going on up there?
Well, everybody's filing out now. A lot of excitement towards the end of the speech. He took some questions from reporters, starting with local people like me and some local TV stations, and then moving towards the New York Times, CNN, NBC, all of them. Now, towards the end of those questions from the bigger outlets, the crowd started to turn against the media a little bit with some of the questions that were being asked. They did not particularly care for them. Yes, as expected, there were a few jabs taken at the media during this speech.
Oh, James, can you articulate any specific examples? What did the crowd specifically not like?
Well, it opened more with an attack on Vice President Harris, saying that she wouldn't even do interviews with the friendly American media. Now, that's not much on its own. I wouldn't normally say, okay, that's a jab at the media. But later on, when we started talking into the Springfield stuff and getting into the way the media has covered that situation, it started to become a little more aggressive, saying, you know, journalists aren't doing their jobs and they're harassing people in the town. And, you know, constituents are afraid to speak out because they're afraid of having 12 cameras chasing them around.
Wow. Huh. That's very interesting, James Kelly. The comment about the taking questions from the American media. Is that, what was that quote again, if you wouldn't mind?
Oh, he just, about Vice President Harris not taking questions from, you know, reporters at any of these rallies or events. And, you know, she's done a couple bigger scale interviews in the meantime. That was more of a reference to the last time that he was in Eau Claire, when Vice President Harris hadn't really done a major interview since becoming the presumptive nominee for the Democratic Party. And that was kind of a small slight towards saying, you know what, the media is a little bit more friendly towards Vice President Harris, and even still, she won't do those interviews.
Interesting. James Kelly, Civic Media's own in Eau Claire, the J.D. Vance rally. That begs the question. We've been talking about it, the lies of the Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio. How much of that, what was the crowd reaction when that topic was broached?
You know, it's interesting to say. It wasn't really the crowd reacting to the story itself, more so that the jabs that Senator Vance was taking about the situation, about the media, how we're covering the situation. He spoke a lot about how, as expected, he's hearing from constituents who are saying that this is happening in their community. As you and I both know, just because someone says something doesn't mean it's necessarily true.
He also can't provide a name, could he? Any constituents?
Oh, I didn't provide a name.
No.
Yeah, well, you know, they're afraid of being chased down by cameras. They want their names kept out of it.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. You know, when I was in high school, I had a boyfriend, but he went to a different school.
from Canada, right?
Yeah, I could tell you, I could tell you his name, but like it wouldn't mean anything to you because he was at a different school.
Wow. James Kelly, obviously the words that come out of a vice presidential candidate and current senator of the state of Ohio, they do carry some weight. Was there any other highlights? What was your question, James, of the vice presidential wannabe?
So I asked him about the rural healthcare situation, more on a nationwide scale. But as you know, here in Eau Claire, we had those two abrupt hospital closures earlier this year, as well as all the clinics. So I wanted to get his take, and for what it's worth, he said early on he was going to try to answer tough questions with actual answers. I'm not sure that's what I got quite from it, but he started to talk about how we need to stop providing health care for illegal immigrants and paying for health care for them because that's what's destroying the system, and expanding offerings around rural health care areas, but didn't really get into specifics on what policies his administration with former President Trump would enact to reach those goals of encouraging more hospitals to be active in rural communities and creating more competition. He didn't really get into the policies that would lead to that, because as we know, hospitals need money to function. Money has to come from somewhere. Is it the patients or is it the state? It brings up a lot of questions. When I spoke to employees of HSHS after the hospital closures were announced, almost every single one of them said the problem was that Medicare and Medicaid was not big enough and they weren't getting enough reimbursements for the hospital to continue to operate.
James Kelly, Civic Media's Northwest Wisconsin News Bureau Chief. Thank you for checking in, James. Keep doing the great work. We appreciate you. 855-752-4842. We appreciate the audience as well. Let's get to it. Troy from Mount Horeb, welcome. You're up, Troy. What do you got for us?
Hey. First of all, spitballing a show name, Salvia Hair.
Salvia Hair?
Yeah, like silver hair kind of play on it. Never mind. Right. If I got to explain it, it didn't work.
That's right. All right. But I love
it,
the fact. Yeah, let's love the fact you're trying, Troy.
I apologize.
Oh, man, you never apologize for brainstorming, man. That's what we do. It's a safe space here, man.
I appreciate that. So, on Hubdi.
Yes.
The Hubdi candidate is in disarray.
The Hubdi campaign is in disarray.
Yeah, there you go. See, you do it better than I do. And what? One more thing.
Yes, sir.
About this, the gentleman who they're bringing up his kid. My brother-in-law lost his kid 7 years ago. He's still not over that.
No, I don't know if you ever get over it, Troy.
I can't imagine you do, but you know, for it to only be a year and to be bringing that up like that and the poor guy doesn't want it, that's just awful.
It is, Troy, and thank you for saying that, man, and sorry for your loss as well, man. I mean, it's always tough. It's never an easy thing, man. This life we live, it's hard enough as it is, let alone having to deal with the accidents and the weird health things and, you know, the life itself, to to have to add to that burden the weight of pushing back against the former president of the United States for just inciting, you know, hatred and bomb threats and spreading lies in the name of your son. I mean, I can't. There's so many awful parts to it. And it's like so many stories, Jess. I swear to God, we talk about these things. And as I'm going through my head, I'm thinking, man, if that was me, you know, if that was someone I knew, someone I cared about, I mean, how do you process that? How do you not lose your mind?
I don't know. I genuinely do not know.
Wow. Well, the human body, the mind is an amazing thing. We can cope with all sorts of things when the trauma is there. But to have to be forced to address it because of a political mind wander of a former president and his lackey VP pick, putting your son and your town at risk, is so uncalled for. And folks, if you haven't seen it, Google it. It's worth it. It is heartbreaking and inspiring in some regards because the guy pushes back gently, eloquently. I mean, he wasn't calling for names. He wasn't calling for anyone to be eliminated. He was just asking, you know, basically, if I may paraphrase, keep his son's name out of your damn mouth. 855-752-4842. Let's keep going on the lines. Wisco, Paul, you're up. Welcome, Paulie. What do you got? Hey, Paulie. Paul? Where's Paul?
Calling Paul.
Calling Paul. All right, Paul. Figure it out, man. 855-752-4842. You know, I think Paul's used to the rotary dial, man.
Oh, yeah.
That might be one of those fancy smartphones. Is it smart, Paul? I'm not sure. Call me back, man. 855-752-4842. Tom from West Dallas. Welcome, Tom. What do you got?
Hey, good morning or afternoon, something like that.
Yes. Hey, Tom.
Just point out this morning. Hey, this morning I was watching Civic Media. Or your Civic Media. My God.
keep going, man. Just talk your way through.
You're doing
You'll
great.
Be fine.
You're
You'll
doing
be
great.
Fine.
Long, long day. And anyways, My Touch Network was showing a clip from Fox News with Marita Bartiromo interviewing one of Trump's spokespeople, and Maria goes, "So, how is Trump doing after this latest assassination attempt?" And they're saying, or she's saying, "Oh, he's doing just fine. You know, he's a little rattled and all this, and but you know, he's coming out on top and all that." They were acting like he was in a war zone and like everyone was shooting at him, and the guy never even got close to Trump. I mean, these guys, they just milk it for what they can. I'm appalled by the whole thing, but.
Well, and I get it, and Tom, and thanks for the call, man. Listen, it's got to be rattling. You know what I'm saying, Tom? Yeah, to you know what? 6 weeks ago, take one to the ear, and then have another guy lurking in the bushes for you. And granted, you know, Trump doesn't seem to be the kind of guy that would be rattled like that. But I mean, man, that's got to be tough. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. So I hear what you're saying, and certainly I think that the campaign and Trump himself and some of the righties cheapen it when they try to, you know, raise money off it right away. It's just, come on, this is some serious stuff, you guys. And if you want everyone to, you know, have some look at themselves and perhaps try to change the tenor and the tone and the rhetoric, you know, come up with the words you want, maybe you shouldn't add a dollar sign to it right away.
Maybe. I mean, maybe wait like a day.
A day?
Two days?
So
thoughts and prayers for the first day?
No. Like I said, a mega show. You know, no, thankfully, no one got hurt. And now is the perfect time to talk about how a felon got his hands on a weapon like that and got so close to the president, former president. I mean, that now is a good time to talk about gun safety, right?
Yeah.
How many Republicans or the Fox Newsies have brought this up and say, hey, we need to reevaluate our laws. How did this guy get this gun? No one, I haven't heard that whatsoever.
I haven't heard that
at
all.
Because if something would have happened, and thankfully it didn't, if someone would have been killed like the last time, but you know, some Trump supporters, man, just going to a political rally and up dead. That's not okay ever. No. And their family having to deal with that. And then, you know, Trump playing it off. I mean, it's just, to Tom's point, are they reacting in the proper quote-unquote way? I don't know, man. You know, until someone takes a shot at me, All I can do is try to empathize and say, man, I would be rattled. I'd be a little concerned about that. Everyone should be. We all should be. It's not a game. A lot of folks act like it is. 855-752-4842. People's words matter. 855-75-CIVIC. I don't know if I believe it, but Paulie says he's back. Hey, Paulie, welcome back. What do you got for us?
Hi, Dom. Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Welcome back.
Oh, that's cool. Thanks for this, sir. First of all, Trump, Vance, they have no policy except for 2025 plan. That's their policy. Read that. And, you know, this talk, violent talk, it goes back 10 years. And, Dom, you were at the rallies. You go back with this guy at least, let's see, 10 years, right? 9, 10 years you were at the rallies, and
yep.
It hasn't changed any. And the other thing that I don't get is J6 is on video. Get it anywhere and watch the video. I mean, it's not a hoax. And like I said, you were a witness to his rallies, and I don't get it. But Taylor Swift, I'm going to bring her up really quick. If she didn't have bodyguards already, she's going to need them now because he tweeted out, I hate Taylor Swift.
Yeah,
so,
terrible.
You know what? The woman did no harm to anybody except participate in democracy.
Exactly. And thank you, Paul. Totally That's awesome. The entire point. What was Taylor Swift's crime? Not supporting Donald Trump. That is why Donald Trump hates Taylor Swift. And just for the record out there, if that's the case, and he's not talking about her music. I don't know. I'm assuming not, because I'm assuming it's because of the endorsement of Kamala Harris after that.
The timing tracks.
Yeah, it does. It does. So if Donald Trump hates people that don't support him, then Donald Trump hates the majority of this country who voted against him. Let's think about that for a minute. 855-752-4842. Last segment with your calls. Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up on the lines. Talk or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. A few from the texters, not ignoring you, just, you know, getting into the new swing of things here. Gary, Trump thinks he's invincible. Well, I mean, don't we all? Sometimes. Let's see. Thank you. Pardon me. You're welcome. Let's see. The next keyword. Oh, folks, we know we've been doing this statewide competition here. The goal for the green or gold text to win contest, download the app. We give out words of the day. The next time it will be 7 a.m. tomorrow. Tune into your favorite civic media station for that. And we're going to do it all again tomorrow. A little bit of update here on the security. I think this is hell. If there's something bipartisan that we can get around, maybe this is it. House GOP leaders seek vote on bill to give Trump and Harris same level of security protection as Biden. After the second apparent attempt on Trump's life, House GOP leaders said tonight they want to vote this week on a bipartisan bill that would ensure Harris and Trump get the same level of security protection as President Joe Biden. Majority Leader Steve Scalise said this, the goals to have it on the floor this week. We can't keep delaying and not having the proper level of protection for candidates for president, especially when you look at President Trump having direct threats now multiple times and the good fortune of being the reason it didn't happen. Now, the bill sponsored by Republicans and Democrats, Mike Lawler, a Republican from New York, and Richie Torres, also a Democrat from New York, would direct the director of the Secret Service to apply the same standards for determining the number of agents required to protect presidents, vice presidents, and major presidential and vice presidential candidates. House Speaker Mike Johnson told reporters that today he called the White House about enhancing Trump's security. "We're going to do everything we can," Johnson said. "We have an obligation. This is not a partisan issue. We have a nominee for president, probably the most threatened political figure in history." "This is a no-brainer, so we're going to do what we can." Lawmakers left Johnson's office tonight saying they expect the security legislation to come to the floor for a vote this week. I mean, the most threatened political figure? I mean, I think John Kennedy has something to say about that.
I was going
to
say Lincoln might.
Lincoln might. It might be someone. Okay. We'll take the positive. Yeah. Hello. Get that done. Are you kidding me? Oh, yeah, and keep the government running. Maybe we'll get to that. We'll see. 855-752-4842. Eddie from Watertown, you're next. Welcome, Annie. What do you got for us?
They were something about a certain, and it was Gerald Ford, and they said, "This is really hard to protect you on the golf course." And he switched, whatever. But Trump cannot make, he's been told, "This is way too difficult to protect you here." I don't know exactly the situation, but like they said, there's a road right there. And, you know, that's probably why this guy was there with a gun trying to protect him. But I don't know. I think of that Shirley MacLaine movie where the crazy old ex-first lady, you know, they had to try to figure out how to protect her and she'd push it too far. But Trump doesn't care. And he makes all this money by having them at his golf course, they say is just, why are all these Hovde signs on these farms? Because didn't he say something about farmers being lazy?
I believe there was some comment that I believe Hovde said that was misconstrued. I don't know. What is it about rich guys telling Wisconsin citizens that they don't work hard enough? I get a little tired of that, but I love your take always, Annie. Thank you. Appreciate it. 855-752-4842. Callers, be patient. I just want to throw this one out there as well. I referenced it earlier in the show. USA Today, Aaron Mansfield. Nearly half of Republicans say they won't accept the results of the presidential election if their candidate loses. And some say they would, quote, take action to overturn the results, according to data released today. About a quarter of Democrats said they wouldn't accept the results if their candidate loses. What? Huh? And fewer Democrats than Republicans said they would take action to overturn the results. Whoa, what? The nonpartisan World Justice Report, which keeps an index of how strong the rule of law is in more than 100 countries, gathered the data as part of a larger study. Polls conducted through online interviews with over 1,000 American households between June 10th and June 18th. Now, the report did not ask what specific action they would take to overturn the election results, just that 46% of Republicans, 27% of Democrats wouldn't accept the results, and 14% of Republicans, compared to 11% of Democrats, said they would, quote, take action. Now, Elizabeth Anderson, the group's executive director, said the results are kind of startling and the amount and amount to about one-third of Americans being unwilling to accept presidential election results if their candidates lose. Come on, people.
That doesn't seem like a good prognostic for anything.
Well, if chaos is the goal.
Well, yeah.
There you go.
Certainly.
Yeah. Well done. 11% of Democrats, 14% of Republicans. All right. Your candidate loses. Something's wrong. Maybe that they just didn't lose. Can't accept that. And what action
that
would take?
A very classical stage of.
What action? Maybe a recount? Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, every legal possibility. I hope if Kamala Harris loses, that they have any concerns, they will pursue to the legal ends everything they could possibly do to make sure that all the votes were counted correctly. And Trump had those opportunities as well. He just lost them all. Well, 61 out of 63, something like that. 855-752-4842. Tom from Madtown, you will have the last word today, Tom. Welcome. What do you got?
Hey, Tom. Laura Loomer talking about Kamala Harris and Tim Walz's campaign partners with pro-Antifa Brewery to raise funds for pro-Kamala Harris billboard campaign and volunteer recruitment. So basically, I'm touring with the Minocqua Get Out the Vote tour.
Oh, right,
and,
right.
So Laura Loomer got these patriots really excited, And it was a call to action Monday, September 16th, 6 p.m. And basically switched venues at the last minute because of some licensing or something. So they did show up last night. And I was out in the parking lot talking to a cop. And I said, where are they? I hear the horns. And he pointed down the road. He said, well, they went to the wrong spot. And they turned around a couple times. And now they just went back down the county road and they're gone. So... we had a fantastic time. We registered people to vote.
Excellent.
We had 120, 130 people.
Oh, I've got to cut you short, Tom. Thank you for that. Mark yourself safe from Laura Loomer. But why do I need to know Laura Loomer any more than I need to know Mike Lindell? Get out of my mind. I want to thank our friend John Nichols coming up tomorrow. We have Matt Rothschild going to join us as well. Hope you do, too. Have a great night.